Welcome to this week's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. It is a big week in Counselor Click world. This week, our first live free workshop is happening, and I want to make sure that you get signed up for it if you haven't already. Go to counselorclick.com/workshop to sign up for the time that works for you. We're also opening doors to the Click Collaborative High School Counseling membership this week. It's perfect timing for you to hear another one of our Click Collaborative voices. I have Chris from California on the podcast today. She's a school counselor sharing some of her hopes and dreams for next year, some of the challenges from this past year, and even a really heartwarming, rewarding story of working with a student from the last year. Thanks for being here. I'm excited for you to hear even the thread that binds us together as high school counselors, even when we can be all the way across the country. That was really neat for me to hear as I talked to Chris. So let's go ahead and listen in on this week's conversation, and I hope to see you at the free live workshop coming up this week. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. I'm so excited to have Chris on the podcast today. Chris is a counselor in California, and she's also a member of the Click Collaborative. And I wanted to give y'all another perspective from a counselor in the field, a voice from the Click Collaborative, and just get to hear her story. So welcome, Chris, to the podcast. We're excited that you're here.
Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, start off and tell us about your journey to becoming a high school counselor. Like, what was your background and how did you get to where you are now?
Wow, probably a little bit different than some others.
Everyone's is different. I love it.
My background is I have a master's in social work. So I started off as a social worker, working in foster care, and then I moved into mental health settings and into doing psychiatric evaluations in the ER. So it was a little bit of a different path. And then I took a break just because of some family issues that were going on. And then when I was ready to go back, especially when my kids started hitting college, we needed a little bit more income boost. And I had a friend who was starting a new charter school, a public charter school here in California. And she asked if I could join her team. So initially, I was kind of a jack of all trades. I did a little bit of counseling and, you know, managed the school and that kind of thing. And as we grew, I moved over solely into school counseling, and I'm loving it. So it's a very different. So I kind of feel like this is my second career.
Yeah, because you have a little bit of overlap, but like you said, that's very different from working in like a hospital setting or a social work setting.
Yes. So definitely. I've worked in inpatient hospital. I've worked in the ER, foster care.
I mean,
care.
A school is a little bit like an ER sometimes too.
It can be.
Tell me about what your school setting is like now. So you said like a charter school.
So it's a public charter school. You know, as you know, charter schools by definition are public, but we don't have a campus. So we are a non-site-based public charter school, and we serve students over 7 different counties in Northern California. And the way kind of that charter law works is wherever you're chartered out of, whatever county you're chartered out of, you can then serve students in any county that touches the border of that sponsoring county. So that means we serve students in 7 different counties. And we don't have a site or a campus. Our students learn from home. Their parents help them. We support the families as they are teaching their students, or they're taking online classes or virtual classes or community college classes. I have 3 sister schools, and we're all managed by a charter management organization, Pacific Charter Institute. So it's a little bit different. It's a little bit of a non-traditional school, and it's a K-12. So I serve all students, but mostly I work with my high school students and my middle school students, primarily doing college and career type stuff. So we don't really have groups. We don't have those kind of things, but I'm hoping to start some up. I was beginning to when the pandemic hit, and that kind of put a kibosh on lots of things.
Okay. Tell me about that. How did the pandemic affect your role? If, you know, you're not in person all the time, were your students already used to meeting with you virtually and, you know, doing work and talking to you virtually, or what was that like?
From my perspective, it wasn't a huge difference because I work primarily from home. I do meet with students in person. I do, you know, a couple times a month, I go to our major areas, kind of the larger cities, and I hang out at Panera's and Starbucks and other coffee shops, and students come to meet with me, or we meet virtually. So that obviously switched to only virtual. So it wasn't actually a huge difference. Our teachers meet with the students in public, but during the pandemic, they couldn't, so they met virtually. So that was a little bit more of a shift for my teachers. But from my perspective, it really wasn't. But as a result, we came, you know, kind of that silver lining is we were able to come up with a new program. We call it Counselor Power Hour. So every week, every Thursday at 2 o'clock, for example, we bring in guest speakers to talk about basically college, career, and life skills.
Oh, that's so fun.
It is a lot of fun. And it started during the pandemic. And last year, it really took off. So this, we're going into our third year of Power Hour, and it's exploding and it's becoming very popular. And not only will students hop on, but parents will hop on. We have representatives from different colleges or CTE programs come to talk about their program. So it's kind of like a virtual college visit that sometimes schools will do in person. Since I'm part of that organizing committee, I always try to pick careers for the career visits of interests of my students.
Yeah, that's great, because once you know them, you know what they're interested in, and then you know what they'll show up for.
Exactly.
What do you think has contributed to the success of that? Like the consistency, they know they can show up at 2 o'clock and they're going to get some value out of that? Or what has contributed to the popularity of it?
I think that definitely the consistency, just that we're trying to tailor it to their needs, right? If we know that we have some students that are interested in this particular college or this particular career, it draws in more students. But as with, I think, any school, that student engagement is always difficult at times. How do you get them involved? So that's what we've struggled with. And we really rely on our teachers to push it as well. We send out text reminders and email reminders, and we put it on social media just to get those families in to listen.
I think that makes a lot of sense. We just need that reminder, everyone even listening, of what works for one school is going to be different from another. So if you're like, well, I'm going to implement this program that I heard about at ASCA because it went so well for that school, it might not go well at your school, or you might have to tweak it to make it to uniquely fit your students. Like, you sound like you really found their interests. You asked what they wanted, and then it has grown immensely since you even started it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it is gaining popularity. And then, you know, students will talk to each other and say, hey, you know, I'm going to hop on to Power Hour tomorrow because we have a veterinarian hopping on and I really love animals.
And they probably don't want to be the only one on it. So they tell a friend, come with me.
Yes.
Essentially, like, I don't want to be the only one asking questions. Make sure that you're there too.
So it kind of helps us when they do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have other counselors that you work with, or what is like your team made up of?
I'm the only counselor at my school, but I do have sister schools and they have counselors. So some of us work really well together. So one counselor in particular and I really have spearheaded the Power Hour program. And we have a lot of fun doing that. But we really are a team. And so if anybody has a question, then we reach out to them. So one of my sister counselors at the other schools had her own kind of private business of college counseling. So whenever I have a question about applications, you know, for my students, I always reach out to her. everybody has a little bit of their specialty, of their background, where they're coming from. And then we go to that person. So sometimes other counselors will come to me for that mental health piece, just because that was my background working in the mental health field.
That's cool. It's like everybody has their strengths. And you know, when you work on a team, those start to come out, or even just interest. Like you could be in your very first year and feel like, well, I don't know what my strengths are. I don't have a background. I just came out of grad school. But you end up figuring out like where your passions are, what kind of projects you want to take on based off of what you enjoy doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would you say you still enjoy that like mental health piece of school counseling?
I do. I don't feel like I get too much of it just because I don't have kids coming into my office, right? You know, stressed out. So they have to make a little bit of that added effort to reach out to me either via email or phone or text. But I definitely do some of that mental health piece. It's more one-on-one through email, through Teams, or sometimes I meet them in person.
Could you ever see yourself working in a traditional, like regular start to finish brick and mortar school building kind of schedule? Or do you like the flexibility of this?
I love the flexibility of this.
That's so cool to hear.
I really do. I mean, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, it'd be nice if I could walk out into the hallway and see my students. But I feel like I get a very different type of relationship because when a student and I connect, even if it's phone or Teams or whatever, it's much more one-on-one. So I have many one-on-one relationships with among my student population. It's more difficult to do a group kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be hard, even just logistically to coordinate, making sure everyone shows up. And it's hard in a school too. Like people are absent and you spend all this time wrangling them and people don't even want to be there or whatever. So it's like your students probably really want to be there if they're signing up for a meeting to sit down and talk to you.
Exactly. Exactly. And this year, I'm really hoping to do to reinstitute some clubs. We had just started in 2020. And of course, we had to cut those off when the pandemic came. But I'm going to start trying. I'm going to pull my students this year. And do you want a leadership club? Do you want, we're going to start like a high school club where just once a month, it's like field trips and we just do fun things, whether it's an escape room or a ropes course or something.
Okay. I feel like that's really fun. Like even from your perspective of getting to develop those relationships, it's a unique way that you get to do that because you don't get to, like you said, pop out into the hall and see them. It's like you get to build the memories and have those shared experiences with your students in a different way, but you're also serving their social emotional needs. Like they need the camaraderie, they need the friendships of being together, and you're facilitating that because who knows, they might not even have that outside because of their school is online, basically.
Right. And it really depends. I mean, some of my students are very well socially connected, for a lack of a better term. They're very active in their church or they're very active in their community. There's lots of kind of homeschool groupings out there that they take part in. But some of them are not. Some of them are not well connected.
And so you're just giving them an opportunity to get connected if it's something that they want. I kind of feel like that's what school counselors do in their schools. It's like, here is a small group if you would like to participate in it. Here I am for individual counseling if you'd like to use me for individual counseling.
Exactly.
Well, tell me, I might have missed this. Was this your first full year in this position or how long have you been at this school?
I've been at this school. This will be my 8th year, but as a full-time counselor, this is probably going to be my 5th.
Probably. Like it was like, I'm moving into this role. We're going to see where this goes.
Was a gradual process.
Yeah. Well, tell me after coming off of, I mean, our last couple of years have been a little wonky. Let's reflect back on this past school year. What was the beginning of the year like? Were you like drained going into the year? Were you pumped for new beginnings? What was last school year like for you, kind of beginning to end?
It was funny. We were all thinking, oh, you know, the pandemic's lifting a little bit, the restrictions are lifting a little bit, so it'll be a little bit easier. And actually, it really wasn't. There's a lot more stress, a lot more social anxiety with the students trying to get back out there. So I had a lot more one-on-ones with them. A lot of students disengaged. So trying to get them re-engaged into school and some kind of social thing. So it was a lot harder than we had expected.
A lot of reactive things. Like you Correct. Knew that it was going to be reactive, but it sounds like it was more than you expected.
Yeah. And we also paired with a group home, a high-level group home. So that was a little bit different as well, working with some group home kids. We were their independent study program. That added a lot more challenges.
They're really just a different population of students. I mean, that's a whole other group of students.
It's a whole different, right? They were all credit recovery probation kids. They were great. I actually love working with that type of population,
yes.
But it was very different than my regular student population.
Yeah.
And it did take a lot of time. So it was just kind of a pilot type project that mm-hmm. we just did for a short time. I'm really glad we did it. I definitely learned a lot. It brought me back to my foster care days.
Yeah.
When I was working in foster care, I knew the system that they were existing in relatively well, which I think helped.
Because then you can empathize, even if you haven't been there, you know what that feels like for them. My
yes.
school that I was in, we were the zoned school for our area's boys' home. And so you just knew the turmoil and the transition that they were constantly going through. You know,
yes.
we'd only have so many in a year, like however many they can have in the home. But I just felt for the lack of support that they received day to day. And it's like, we have to rally around them and have patience and empathy and like really use our counseling skills because they need the support. Like high school boys, they're pushing away from it. They don't really want it, but you have to let them know that like you're going to be in it no matter what with them.
No matter what. Absolutely. And so I had lots of those conversations and trying to, you know, keep them focused or remind them that this is not going to be their entire life.
Yes.
And to focus on that here and now, that they can make choices now, you know, today, that can help them reach their long-term goal of graduating high school or getting a job or whatever that long-term goal was. So they needed lots of reminding. And for that, it's really empowering for them if they feel they have an ounce of control, because if they're living in group homes, they don't have a lot of control over their lives.
I love hearing that you had a very similar experience to me in that, but I'm like, we are across the country having worked in completely different schools, but so much of what we do as school counselors is connected. And you hear and see some of the same stories, no matter where you are. I just think that that's fun to feel like we're in it together doing that.
We really are. We really are.
Tell me about a time, whether it was like with a student or a family that you worked with, that was especially rewarding this past year. Like, is there anything that stands out in your mind?
The thing that first comes to my mind is actually, it wasn't with one of my own students, but I had a mom of one of my students that was helping a homeless student out. She met him in her church or something. She was trying to help him out. And this is a kid who did not finish high school due to his chaotic family life. And he got away from his chaotic family life, but he didn't have a high school diploma and he wanted to go into the medical field. So I gave some advice and I talked to him and I kind of vouched for him with some paperwork just to say, hey, this kid, you know, needs to go to community college and then he has goals to move on. And just telling this mom that they're, you know, McKinney Vento, he meets the criteria for homelessness, even though he was couch surfing. He literally had a roof over his head, but the McKinney Vento definition of homelessness is
different. People don't realize how much it encompasses.
Exactly. So couch surfing counts as homeless.
Yep.
Being somewhere, you know, staying with friends, doubling up. So explaining that to this mom and getting her and this young man connected with the McKinney Vento liaison at their local community college. She said she had no idea that even existed. So she sent me a very sweet thank you card at the very end of the school year. Her daughter also graduated. But most of the thank you card was about this young man who was not even my student.
And not even her student, right? I mean, they're just, everyone is rallying around trying to help someone. And it's cool to see everyone come from their different places of caring to help a student succeed.
And what was neat is she gave me an update. So I think this happened 2 years ago, but she thanked me this year. finished with a 4.0 through community college, and he's now at the local California State University with like a 3.8 GPA.
Oh my goodness. That is just heartwarming.
I know. So that was the thing that really struck out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I even practically forgot about this poor kid that I met once and helped this family out get connected to services and such.
And now his trajectory is changed for the rest of his life. That is so cool.
Yes, it was very cool. So that was very, very heartwarming for me and very reinforcing that maybe I do make a difference, because we all go through those self-doubts. Like, am I really making a difference with any of these kids?
Of course, every day.
Yep.
When you look back on this year as a school counselor, where have you seen yourself grow?
More confidence in reaching out directly to students and taking that added step. I mean, this year, I really do hope to have several clubs meet virtually and somewhat have some in-person opportunities. It kind of depends. My kids are so spread out. So sometimes they don't have access to transportation to get to places, but just a little bit more confidence. I mean, every year I feel just a little bit more confident based on what that year challenges I've survived or dealt with or, you know, overcome.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think you ever arrive and you're like, I've got it all together. I know the answer to every question, but the increase in confidence is all you can ask for.
Right. And I think that's helpful. And one of the things I love about this job is you never know what's going to happen around the corner.
I love that too. I mean, I'm like, we are very different from teachers who need that structure. I love not knowing what's next because it keeps you on your toes.
Absolutely. And the job is never boring as a result.
No, never boring. So you became a member of the CLIT Collaborative this past January, right?
I think so, yes.
Yep. And how has the membership provided support for you in your high school counselor journey? Because you're K through 12, so this is very specific to high school. Tell me about the support that it has provided for you.
Well, most of my work is with my high school students. So it's very... I love the topics. They're super informative. I still feel like I'm new at this job. So I kind of feel like that brand new counselor. And some of the topics, I just need to translate them to my particular educational setting because we're not site-based, but the topics are universal that you are presenting and that the collaborative is contributing to. So it is typically very translatable. I just have to tweak it just a little bit to fit my setting.
Yeah. And I think that's why I wanted to talk to counselors from all different settings, because it's like there is a common thread that, you know, even if you're not doing small groups, you can tweak that and maybe take some of those things into your clubs. And as you're gathering, you know, bring some ideas into that. So the topics, like you said, are universal, but you bring it into your school and make it your own.
Yes. I really did like that. And I've gained a lot. I just got just knowledge and like tips and tricks. I'm like, oh my gosh, I never even thought of that. Or, you know what? I might be able to do that at my school, which I would not have even thought of.
Like a solo, even brainstorming, like you walk away, like, okay, what can I implement now?
Right.
What would you tell another high school counselor friend about the CLIT Collaborative? Like, how would you describe it? Or what kinds of things would stand out to you that you would want to tell somebody else?
I'm such a team player, and I like that the CLIT Collaborative extends that team player that I'm learning from other people. And I love hearing how you present things in such a positive light and you keep it real, which I really like. So that's kind of how I would explain it to other counselors, that it's a great place to learn and throw ideas or questions out there. We're all kind of in that same boat, no matter what educational setting we're in. So the resources are super helpful. So I've enjoyed that.
Well, thanks for saying that. I am going to put you on the spot as we're wrapping up. I asked another guest this. What is something that has been bringing you joy or energizing you this week?
Well, it's still kind of vacation, although I'm half-time working. Even though I live and work in California, I am currently visiting my daughter, my adult daughter. I have two adult daughters. So I'm visiting one of them in Minnesota. So that brings me such immense joy. She recently bought a house, so I'm helping her set up her garden.
Oh, that's perfect. Getting some family time in before back to school gears up.
Before the chaos begins, yes.
Well, Chris, this was awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope Chris's experience either resonates with you or gives you a new perspective on life as a charter school counselor. Remember, signups are happening right now for my free live workshop, 3 Back-to-School Strategies for High School Counselors. The first 2 live workshops are being held this week, the week that this episode is coming out, and then there'll be 1 more held on Sunday, August 21st. So make sure you pick the time that works for you. I would hate for you to miss this live workshop. There's going to be so much energy behind it when y'all show up live, and then practical, actionable strategies to help start your year off on the right foot. I can't wait to see you there. Sign up at counselorclick.com/workshop. And remember, doors officially open to the Click Collaborative on August 15th. So chances are you're listening to this when doors to the membership are open. Go to clickcollab.com. That's clickcollab.com to learn more about joining my high school counseling membership for this year. Doors only open twice per year, so I'd hate for you to miss it. I want you to jump in right now if the time is right. So check it out to see if it would be a good fit for you. Clickcollab.com. Okay, I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.